Moncrief on News Talk.
It's always the national day of something, particularly in the US. There, today, is simultaneously National Cinnamon Roll Day, National Farm Animals Day, National Siblings Day, and the National Day of Silence, all of which may or may not have something to do with what it also is today, National Erase Self-Negativity Day. The counselling psychologist and lecturer in TU Dublin, Leslie Shoemaker, is here to talk about the last one anyway. Good afternoon, Leslie.
That's a heck of a list.
It is. And that's only a selection of the things it is today. There's about a dozen things.
I like the silence one. That would be interesting.
That would be a good one, actually, though. Then again, if it was National Silence Day and you're prone to self-negativity, that would be a bad thing. You're listening to those voices in your head telling you you're rubbish.
Yeah, but you can eat cinnamon rolls with them.
Okay.
Celebrate three in all one.
And then you're going, I'm getting fat. I'm rubbish. That would only compound the problem, perhaps. What is self-negativity? How can you define it in the sense that something might be objectively bad out in the real world, if you know what I mean? Or is it how you feel about yourself, how you feel about your circumstances?
Okay, perceptions are everything. But here's the thing. We have no control over the thoughts that pop up into our head. Our brain's sole purpose is to problem solve. And, you know, the key function of that problem solving is to keep us alive. So we know back in the days of the cave people that in order to stay alive, you had to interpret threat. And there were two types of threat. One was obviously physical threat. So if you heard a rustle in the bushes, if you didn't run, well, you were the bear's dinner. So we are the people who are the descendants of the people who accurately interpreted physical threat. But there's also social threat. So the groups back then were very dependent on each other to stay alive. And so when our brain starts doing I'm fatter than her and I'm not dressed as nicely as him, that self-comparison thing, that is something we all do automatically. We cannot stop. And it was because back then, if we pissed off our social group, they kind of turfed us out and we would be the saber-toothed tiger's breakfast.
Okay, that's harsh. Does the human brain, though, lean towards negativity?
Yeah, it does, unfortunately. And, you know, it's just something that we need to learn to live with. Again, we can't. I remember as a former reformed, as I affectionately call it, cognitive behavioral therapist, and a CBT therapist. And I used to love giving out thought records. And so my clients would have a thought, I am fat. And so in the thought records, you had to challenge the thought and look for evidence and things like that. And, you know, once you challenged and you came up with a more rational, balanced conclusion, Bob's your uncle. But the reality is that I'm fat thought kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And the other problem is, in order to realize you're not having a thought, you have to think the thought.
Yeah.
So, you know, CBT, it served me well for many, many years. And I moved over to a variation of cognitive behavioral therapy. It's behavioral therapy called acceptance and commitment therapy. And it's based in the research that tells us, well, thoughts are going to pop into our head. We don't necessarily have to listen to them. We have to accept them, but we don't have to necessarily engage with them. And the acceptance bit is kind of like, okay, I put on a lot of weight. I need to start walking more and eating less chocolate. Mm. You know, I may not be happy with it. You know, who's ever thrilled in having to buy a whole new wardrobe because you put on a bunch of weight? But that acceptance piece is really important because it gives you the opportunity then to say, okay, this is what I need to do to take care of myself. So we get lots of weird and random thoughts in our head all day long. And, you know, it's just about saying, okay, they're here. That's it. You know, I'm going to make space for it and move on with my life.
Yeah. But does that mean not take them seriously, these thoughts?
You know, thoughts and feelings, memories, physical sensations, they're pieces of information. That's it.
Yeah.
They're just kind of a billboard letting us know what's out there, a sign. You know, sometimes that billboard is as big as Times Square screaming at us. But we do have choices around what we do with our thoughts, how we interpret our thoughts. Like in ACT, we believe, you know, the mantra is we don't have good and bad thoughts. Those are the labels that we put on thoughts. And we start looking at cultural stuff. It's really interesting. In Japan, they love rain. In Ireland, all we do is moan about rain.
Mm. Well, they should move to Ireland then if they like it so much.
Apparently, they really do like visiting here because of the rain.
Okay, that's
I knew
nice
somebody who owned a B&B and they said they were always fascinated. Rainy day, the Irish residents would be going, oh God, get the rain gear. Whereas the Japanese are like, oh, this is great. Let's go for a walk.
If your thoughts are bits of information, do you have to somehow come up with a way of figuring out that piece of information has validity, that other is just me catastrophizing?
You know what? Even if a piece of information is valid, we still can take a step back from it. You know, and once we learn, like in ACT, they've got a whole range of techniques which are based in mindfulness and how to interact with our thoughts and take steps back for thoughts. I'm not going to bore you all with all the different techniques, but there's a really simple one that I love using with my clients. Is, say, for example, I am fat. I say to my clients, okay, take that thought, say it three times over in your head to Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice. And they do it. And, you know, and we always get a chuckle too.
Yes.
And I always say to people, I say, does that thought feel as strong as it used to be? And they're all like, no, it doesn't. It's a distancing technique. Mm. That we use. And suddenly you start looking at it a bit differently. I remember the first time I went to an ACT workshop and they had us, the exercise that we were to do, and I genuinely can't remember what the thought was to look at a thought, think of a thought that was bothering us and to sing it to happy birthday in our head. And I remember thinking, oh my God, why am I listening to this thought? Suddenly it lost that power that it had over me. So that's what I like about ACT. There's some great books out there. My favorite author would be Russ Harris, and teaching us how to approach things just slightly differently. You know, we bring in our value systems because we know that we're happier. And I'm not saying, you know, life is wonderful, but we do better in life when we start looking at what our values are. We know the changes that we bring into our lives when we follow our values are more long lasting. Mm. And it's the only therapy out there that's a values-based therapy, which I also really like about it.
Find the perfect space for your business with DRK & Company Realty. Flexible office suites are available. Employees and clients benefit from free parking, front door access, and walkable dining, retail, and hotels at the Polaris Lifestyle Center. Managed by DRK & Company Realty, one of Central Ohio's most trusted leaders, this safe, well-maintained property offers dedicated on-site management and responsive maintenance. Grow your business at an address designed for success at 470 Old Worthington Road. Visit drk-realty.com to learn more.
Sleep better and save big right now at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $800 store-wide. Get buy one, get one free deals, plus a free adjustable base on select mattresses. With 0% interest financing, free delivery, and our exclusive lifetime price guarantee, you can't miss this. Only at Sleep Outfitters.
Yeah. Values differ from people to people.
Absolutely.
And so if you're the kind of person who tends to be cruel to other people, perhaps you'll be cruel to yourself.
Possibly, but then I think we're looking at psychopathology type stuff.
I was borderline stuff there. Somebody wants to know, what about intrusive thoughts and catastrophizing? What if sometimes these are overbearing?
You know, and again, that's what I like about ACT. There's a whole range of techniques to help you learn how to hold them more lightly. And they can be intrusive. We all get intrusive thoughts. Let's start with that. You know, I do a lot of work with obsessive compulsive disorder, and intrusive thoughts is one of the key features of that. And I love telling my clients, we all have intrusive thoughts. All of us do. And I think, you know, it's about owning up to that and acknowledging it. And sometimes the intrusive thoughts are quite, you know, annoying and loud and, you know, a pain in the neck. And I'd rather not have them myself, but we all do.
Yeah. But is it relatively easy if you kind of sing it to happy birthday, we get Arnold Schwarzenegger to repeat it back to you, that it goes away? Or is it still there with Arnie chanting in the background, you're a failure?
that's a heck of a thing going in my head now.
Yeah.
You know, usually what we've, you know, with acceptance and commitment therapy, what's interesting, it wasn't developed. The guys who developed it found CBT wasn't working for them. And so they took components of a lot of different therapies, put it together. A lot of it, as I said, it's based in behaviorism. And what the surprise was that they found people did better. They found a lot of relief from it and using the techniques. And for a lot of people, yeah, things that those thoughts, they lose their power, they lose their frequency, but not for everybody. Mm. But I know acceptance and commitment therapy is used with pain management. And there's a woman, there's a psychologist in Australia who I just think is amazing. And one of her group therapy sessions with people with chronic pain is they go jogging.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And so it's about how do I still live my life to the best of my ability, despite the stuff that's going on with me? Mm. How do I bring it with me in a way that isn't quite as heavy of a burden? And that's what I like about it.
Yeah. If everybody has these, can have these thoughts.
We all have them.
Do we? How come people suffered from them to varying degrees? That they immediately, one person can go, everybody hates me. And it might be a fleeting thought, but for another person that grips their mind and won't let go.
It becomes a really sticky thought and yeah. just, gets into that hamster wheel. And I there's probably biology and chemicals involved in that. But for the people where the thoughts get really sticky, they get really locked into it. They get really blinded by it. They can't see anything outside of that. And an act, we call that fusion. And so they have a range of diffusion techniques. Another popular one I would use with clients just to test them out in a session is I am aware I'm having a thought that I am fat.
Mm, yeah.
And we're really lazy with language, really lazy with language. We say we're happy, we're glad, we're mad, we're sad. Well, what we're saying is we are those emotions. Actually, no, I'm having a feeling that I'm happy, or I'm having a feeling that I'm sad.
Yeah.
And so our language even lends towards this. So I can recommend books. no problem to beat the band. There's lots of videos out there, but the reality is we all have them, and everybody has different sticky thoughts. And it's about how do we continue to live our life despite these things in a way that, follows our values. And, as I say to people who check into me with, for sessions, I always say, clearly self-care is something that's really important to you. You wouldn't be here otherwise. Mm. And they're always like, oh, yeah, I never thought of it like that.
Yeah. By the same token, are there people wandering on the face of this planet who have no self negativity whatsoever? And is that a healthy thing either?
Well, forgive me, the narcissists out there. Yeah. That's a personality disorder. That's a whole different category of things.
Yeah.
I think everybody, the way our brains are programmed, everybody has some form of unhelpful. Let's get away from negative and positive, because they're really binary terms.
Mm.
And it's almost like saying we're weak or we're strong. Well, there's a whole range of things in between all that. So I tend to talk about things which are helpful and things which are unhelpful to take away that judgment.
Yes, indeed. But self-doubt in general, there are people who seem to have no self-doubt or certainly portray no self-doubt.
Oh, I'd say they portray no self-doubt. We all have self-doubt. We all have moments of like, oh God, I'm winging it. I really hope it works out.
Yeah.
That's life. I remember one of my...
Remember when you came in just before we went on air and stared at the TV and said, that's a mess? I think there might be an element of no self-doubt there.
Oh God, I'm so sorry for my country. That's all I'm going to say.
Leslie, lovely to have you in. Thanks, William, for coming to talk to us today. That was the psychologist Leslie Shoemaker there.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.